morning is we have the feeding of the 5,000, and we have the feeding of the 4,000, and there are some similarities between the two events, and there are also some significant differences. But one thing I was kind of struck with, well, I was trying to figure out how much time had elapsed between the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, and Scripture doesn't tell us. I got some idea, and this all occurred in the third year of the Lord's ministry, so, you know, we're limited to a 12-month span there at least, so this is in this third year of his ministry, and looking at what, since we're going to be reading the account out of the book of Mark, I looked at what transpired, what took place between the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, and there were, by my count, five different things recorded in Mark that took place between these two events. So, after the feeding of the 5,000, you remember that the next event that took place was the walking on water. Interaction there with Peter. Then there was a healing of the sick in the land of Gennesaret, and that took up a few verses at the end of chapter 6. And then there's a long passage, and we won't look in, it's not part of the miracle study, a long passage beginning in Mark chapter 7, and it was a confrontation the Lord had with the Pharisees. And there were a number of things covered in there, but probably the one that most of them remember is the issue about the Korban, where the Pharisees were good about not taking responsibility for their parents, so to speak. You know, they would donate this money, and then the parents, they would donate this money to the temple, and then the care of their parents, that kind of, they, in their view, relieved them of the responsibility of taking care of the parents, and the Lord challenged them on that and other issues. And then from there we went into the Syrophoenician woman with the daughter with the demon, and we looked at that a couple weeks ago. And then the event right before the feeding of the 4,000 was the healing of the deaf mute that Josiah looked at last week. So we have some incidents there, but we can't tell how long, you know, these incidents took place. So we have some period of time between the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. And, you know, why is that? Why did that get my attention? Well, it kind of got my attention because you look at the reaction of the disciples the second time. You know, what did they learn and what did they not learn from the feeding of the 5,000? And how long ago had that been? How short are their memories, or how long do they remember these things? But maybe we'll bring out a few of those things as we look into this passage. So, with that said, why don't we go ahead and read the passage. And again, we're in Mark 8, and we'll read verses 1 through 9. Mark 8, verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered him, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? He asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. And they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to them also, he set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and he took up seven large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. So, you know, the first thing you get some folks trigger that the feeding of the 4,000 is kind of an echo of the feeding of the 5,000. But clearly, if you look at the details in here, they were two separate incidents, and they were distinct miracles, but of a similar location. You know, and here are some of the differences. The locations were different in the place. They were both around the Sea of Galilee, but the first one was on the northeast edge of the Sea of Galilee. The second one was further south on the eastern shore of the lake, in the area of Decapolis. Decapolis, 10 cities, somewhere there on the eastern shore of the Lake of Galilee. Let's see, and if you remember, some of the other things that were different. In the first instance, the multitude had only been there for a day, feeding the 5,000. But here, we had a crowd that had been with the Lord for 3 days. Ministry, and there's no indication that they had eaten in those 3 days. So, certainly a difference from the first one. What was provided in the first one was 5 loaves and 2 small fish. This one, we have 7 loaves and a few small fish. So it's not exactly on 2 like the other one, but it's not specified. And the other difference, of course, is Scripture tells us there were 5,000 men in the first one, 4,000 in this one. And then, kind of the last thing, the difference, in the feeding of the 5,000, there were 12 hand baskets left over. And in this instance, the surplus filled 7 wicker baskets or hampers. So there seems to kind of pick, small the hand baskets in the first one. These ones are larger containers, so possibly you see that there's even more surplus in the second instance. So. Now for some of the similarities, they both took place in kind of desolate places. They were away from civilization, so to speak, and there wasn't ready availability of food there. Of course, they both involved large numbers of people. The disciples, of course, were present in both, and. And then in both instances, the Lord multiplied the little food that was available so that everyone in those large crowds was filled. So, the principal teaching of both of them is Christ is the bread of life on which his people feed. So that's, if you take something else away from these two feedings, Christ is the bread of life, and that's what all of his people feed. Then a few other things to similarities between the two, and you see that the Lord blessed the food and it was distributed through the disciples. The Lord didn't go and hand out the food to each of the people; he distributed through the disciples. And I think that's a picture for us. The bread of life. We are the disciples, so to speak. We are the ones who should spread the good news of the gospel, spread the good news about the bread of life. It's been given to us, and it's our responsibility. It's been handed to us through the Holy Spirit, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's up to us to distribute that bread to the crowds. Any crowds out there that haven't heard of Christ, that's our responsibility. But the other thing to keep in mind is, we can only supply, or we can distribute it, but we can't supply it. only God through Christ can supply the bread of life. All we can do is distribute it. We can't supply it. I thought it was interesting early on there, verse 5, the Lord asked, when they were preparing to feed these people, and so the Lord is asking the disciples in verse 5, he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So the disciples were a little better prepared than they were in the feeding of the 5,000. You know, remember their reaction in the feeding of the 5,000 is, okay, we need to go out and find, you know, we need to go out and buy, how can we buy food for these many people? But this time when the Lord asked them how much food was available, they had already done their little bit of homework and they figured out, well, there's only 7 loaves, but at least they didn't have, they had an answer, you know, so they learned something. They learned something from it. I guess that's where I was kind of getting back to the point of, you know, how long had it been between the incidents between the 5,000 and the 4,000. So maybe that was one lesson that they learned. And, you know, well, if you're going to ask that question again, we better have an answer this time. So then you kind of get into the question of, you know, did they know or did they sense that the Lord was going to fulfill the feeding of the 4,000 in the same manner as he did the feeding of the 5,000? And it's hard to tell from this whether the disciples believed that was possible. We see almost the exact same kind of scenario in verse 6. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. And that's pretty much the way the bread and the fish were distributed in the feeding of the 5,000. I think there was a little bit more detail in the passage we may have looked at, that they were instructed to seat them in groups of 100 apiece, and then, you know, and then the food was distributed here. They sat down on the ground. Doesn't say anything about the number of groups, but then the disciples passed out, you know, the food that was available to the groups there. You know, certainly we see kind of the humanity of Christ in all this, and we see his deity also. We see the humanity of Christ. He's there with these people. You know, they've been there for 3 days, and people are starting to get hungry. The Lord understands that as a man. He got hungry too, so he understood the need there. And, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, he understood, you know, some of these people traveled quite far. They've been there 3 days, and, you know, they had this long journey to go home, so he was concerned for them, you know. And through his concern, he understood their need. He understood that they needed some sustenance before they made this long journey home. But again, as man, he understood the need for food. But as God, he was able to supply that food. So certainly a unique position. Nobody like Christ understands from a human perspective the need, and also from a perspective of God himself, be able to provide for that need. So that's a good thing to take away from both of these paintings. You know, the Lord knew the need and provided for the needs of men. Let's see. What else? You know, we've already talked about the disciples were not able to supply the need. You know, the need was great. They couldn't afford to buy the bread. But everything that was provided to the 5,000 and to the 4,000, you know, there was no lunch counter set up or anything like that, and people were expected to, you know, come up and pay for this food or anything. Everything was a free gift. It was given freely to the people there. And you look at what the Lord took, what the Lord had to work with, and then what he was able to do with what, you know, in our eyes was a very little that he had to work with, you know. A few loaves of bread, a little bit of fish, but he was yet able to feed 5,000 and 4,000 respectively. You know, the Lord uses whatever we have to offer. Multiplies it to meet the needs that are available, that are out there, and you know, we're just kind of tools in the administration of his gifts. So you know, we look at these things. We should always be prepared to give what we can, but you know, don't. It's not up to us to supply everybody's needs. It's up to the Lord can and the Lord will supply everyone's need. So we're just helping in the administration of those gifts. It's interesting too that you know, everyone was fully the supply there was enough to fully satisfy all the people, and that's evidenced by how much leftovers there were. You know, in the first case, there were 12 baskets taken up. In the second feeding of the 4,000, there were 7 baskets taken up. So from this little bit, the Lord was able to multiply it. So everybody in this crowd was satisfied to the extent that there was even quite a bit of leftover for that. And I think that it's a... Ryrie points out here that's an illustration of God's salvation that he provides for us. It's free. You know, we don't pay anything for our salvation, and it's full. You know, our salvation, it overflows. You know, we never get like a half a salvation or a three quarters salvation. Everything, you know, when we're saved to the full. You know, and there's no doubt about that. Then Ryrie talks here about this the sufficiency of the bread, and let's see, one of the big differences between the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000 is in the first case of the 5,000, the people that were ministered to were primarily Jews. And we looked at that there's a couple verses in John 6, we won't look there, but in the feeding of the 5,000, they're in all four of the Gospels, so there are some details there, but in the feeding of the 5,000, it was primarily the Jews, and in the feeding of the 4,000, these people were probably Gentiles, just because of the location where they were. So we see, you know, we see how the Jews had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, in the feeding of the 5,000. You know, there were those incidents after the Lord dealt with the Pharisees, and there was more rejection from the Jewish people. But now the gospel, the bread of life is being handed out now more to the Gentiles than we saw in the first instance. So that was again a distinction between the feeding of the 4,000 and of the 5,000. So the bread of life was offered first of all to the Jew, and then to the Gentile in this instance. So we see kind of the word of God being kind of a precursor to what happened with the apostles in Acts and places like that, where as the word was being rejected by the Jews, he was going out to the Gentiles. So this is kind of a precursor of that. Let's see. And I guess we kind of talked about this a little bit too, but you know, no crowd, no matter how big, constrain the limits of God's provision. You know, he has enough provision to save the entire world. You know, there's provision for being able to do that. He could save the entire world. And we often say he would have none to perish. But he would save the entire world. His grace is sufficient to save the entire world. And I guess going back to the thing about the disciples, you know, even though it had been probably, you can say the time frame, it was a relatively short time in the overall scheme of things between the first feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. So, you know, why were they not thinking, okay, we can do the same exact thing he did in the first instance, but it took them a while to see that was what was going to happen. You know, and it's easy to kind of criticize the disciples for that, but, you know, look at our own lives. You know, when the Lord comes and does something for us, you know, the next time maybe not that exact situation, but something else comes up, you know, we get all worried and upset and things like that. But, you know, have we already forgotten the first lesson that the Lord has taught us, that, you know, he will provide for us? You know? And, you know, is that what the disciples were learning from this instance? You know, that they are, you know, to look to him to provide. He's provided in the past, he'll provide in the future. And I think that's something we need to remember, and I think it's driven home by these two miracles. You know, sometimes, how's the Lord going to meet this new need? Well, he has a plan, and he'll be able to do it. The Christ who can save us can surely care for us. That's a big point we need to remember in all of this. Okay, I think I've covered most of the points that I was struck by, and again, the differences and the similarities between the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. So we've got a few minutes left here, so I'll open it up to any brother that has a different observation, or maybe clarify something I didn't exactly get right. Brother Jim? That's a good observation. I think, you know, particularly in the second case, you know, the disciples learned from probably as much from that as anybody, even though people were there listening to the Lord speak for 3 days. You know, a lot of it was pointed towards the disciples. And there probably wasn't much, many people that had been at 5,000 that were now 4,000. So it's, you know, it's kind of pretty much separate and distinct group, with the exception of the disciples. So, you know, they saw both miracles up front and close at hand. How many in there today? George, you had a okay. All right. Thanks for those comments. And no, it doesn't get into the next miracle, so that was some good connection there. All right. Any other comments? And